All right, y'all. So, welcome back to the Love Hunter. I'm just messed up thinking about this now, because you know we're here for the holidays, and you know one of the toughest things is for those of us who have, you know, watched our, you know, loved ones that are, you know, 60, 70 years old and 80 years old, and they've had that loved one that they, you know, literally said till death do us part. They transition on, and the holidays are hard because they've built so much time with them. They've had so many memories with them because they're not in the age bracket where they've just started, you know, looking at marriage and cutting the cake and having kids. They're now watching their grandkids go off to college and go off and do wonderful things where, you know, they're now sitting and appreciating their garden, like how everything are grown. I'm like, man, like how awesome is it to get to that point? But I think we subconsciously feel the energy of the opposite when we're single and when we're not in that, and when we don't have that in our lives, that bond and that person that we stay in the tank with them and keep moving forward. So then it got me to thinking. I was like, what is it in dating and getting back out there that really ties us up and keeps us from moving forward? I'm like, wait, could it be that we both, men and women, choose wrong? Could it be that we both choose wrong? I was like, no, never. That doesn't happen. That's impossible. You know, we choose the right thing. We always choose the right thing, right? Well, then I got to thinking, like, when you've been in a bad relationship, no matter how much you talk about how much you want to get out, or how bad that person's treating you, or, you know, how much you want things to change, when you stay in that relationship and then ultimately it ends, you have now been coded, rewritten, and programmed for that type of toxic relationship. So when somebody new comes along that is simply better for you, they might be boring compared to the other person. They might be a little bland, a little plain compared to the people that you've dated. You don't know what to do. You don't even know how to talk to them because you're like, we just don't ever do anything. Well, it's because your mind is used to being suspended and in suspense and chaotic with some type of drama from a cheating man or woman, a lying man or woman, or chasing this man or woman. Like, you're so used to immature games and balancing a toxic person that you don't know how to choose quality. You don't know how to look forward and look at this person and say, you know what? This person fits the job description of what I want to do. You know, this person fits the needs of the grocery list that I'm trying to build right now for all the things that I need. You know, the person that I had before, you know, maybe all they could give me in the recipe was mac and cheese. But what I really need is the mac and cheese, Thanksgiving, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, ram, lamb, ham, you name it. So you've been wanting a Thanksgiving meal, which I think anybody would agree, whether you're vegan or, you know, eating at a typical house, is much better than something from fast food or whatever. Like, the way we throw down and the way we're about to eat. And just a warning, please don't eat like that every day. Y'all, I want you around. I care about you. I love you. Let's eat healthy. Let's be proactive. Let's take our walks. Let's make sure we can, you know, at least do 10 push-ups. Let's make sure we can walk for 30 minutes unaided, right? If you can't do that, please get with your doctor. It's time to make some changes. So it's not the New Year's where we make those changes. It's everyday life where we make those changes. But I think we can all agree that Thanksgiving meal is much more delicious, much better than what you get from, you know, McDonald's. Whatever, Wingstop, for a while on this, man. I'm getting hungry. Okay, let me stop. But you get what I'm saying, though. You've been asking for better, but you keep writing down the recipe for the stuff that's already out here that really won't fill you up, really won't fulfill you. Like, you can't make a movie, I mean, unless it's Super Size Me or the movie that Michael Keaton made about being a Bill, what's the guy's name? The guy that founded McDonald's, brought everything together to make McDonald's. Unless you're making a movie, a documentary, no, you don't make a movie about fast food, how good the fast food is. In reality, I think all these fast food chains now, like Fazoli's and, you know, Cane's and Chick-fil-A, even Panera, they're leveling up because they're taking the time to care about the food that they're making and the ingredients. Even if it is a little processed, even if it is a little bit, you know, mechanical in the way that, you know, they, you know, bring it together. So we're asking for new and great people, but going off of the programming or the taste for something that still doesn't suit us. And I thought, you know, at first I thought, oh, maybe it's just women that do that, you know, because they get hurt, they get in their feelings, they break up with a man or finally find out that he's cheating and whatever, and they're the only ones. But I'm like, dudes do it too. And where men do it, I hate to say it, where men do it is we get hurt, something happens, and I'm going to play both sides here. We get hurt, something happens, and we just decide, based on that poor experience, as a kid, as a teenager, as whatever, we decide, based on that poor experience, to treat women as poorly as possible, while all of the women that are quality and are good for you, or smarter than you and make more money than you, are just looking at you the whole time like, choose better, be better. Why choose to come to a lower level of thinking and constantly berate women or talk down to women or trash women when that's not all women? Like, not all women are doing that. So that's what kind of makes me, you know, scared, is now just thinking about, like, how all the good people aren't finding each other. They're really not finding each other, because men that might have been hurt one time just decided, I'm going to be a player. And because this woman took advantage of my innocence and hurt me, you know, now I'm going to go out here and just wreak havoc on everybody. Which, rightfully so, I hate to say this, you have to be careful who you hurt. And I don't think, from a family perspective, a lot of mothers and fathers have had this talk with their daughters, like, hey, don't go out and create the villain. Like, it's not that hard to create a villain. And no, it's not all this little girl's fault, but I've seen this too many times now. You just compare the two. Boys play with guns and knives and G.I. Joes and Power Rangers and Naruto and Samurai Blades and Avengers and all this. What kind of toys do we buy for our young ladies? Well, now we have, like, Doc McStuffins and, you know, the smarter, more brainy stuff. But traditionally, it's Barbies and Barbie dolls and homes and homemaking and all these more feminine, softer, pink, you know, family-centered type things. So, like, let's just think about this here. Just metaphorically, if you step on a little girl's foot, she's 6 years old, you step on a little girl's foot with a boot, she's going to be hurt, she's going to cry, and she's going to, you know, say something to her parents, this, that, and the third. Well, with boys, it's going to go one direction or the other. Either that boy is going to shell up and completely go internal, or that boy is going to be so mad that anytime he sees a boot, it's going to trigger him and create a rivalry, a revenge in him, where anytime he sees a boot, you know, because of testosterone, because of ego, because of programming from society, he's going to become this, you know, version of himself that never gets hurt again. And anybody that steps in my direction, I'll break their head. I'll knock them all the way down. So I'm like, that's us as men. That's who we are. When we get hurt, we either completely back down and forget to look at how good things can be and operate out of trauma-based decisions, or we decide, you know what? I'm going to make it so that I'm so mean, I'm so angry, I'm so vicious that the only thing I make room for is my pleasure. I don't care who I piss on, you know, as you know, you're not going to piss down my back and call it rain. They'll be like, oh yeah, it's rain. Just stay right there. It's rain. They don't care who they hurt, harm, whatever. They'll lie. And y'all, this is us. This is who we are. As men and women, we get hurt by people. We get abused by people. We learn things from people. And we really just need to take the time to talk to each other and figure out, like, what are you thinking? Like, where's your thought process on this? And it shouldn't start in the 20s and the 30s. It should start as a young age, so that we make sure we explain to people, like, hey, if somebody's not getting back to you on the phone or text, they might really be busy. Respect them enough to say, you'll get back to me when you get back to me. I don't need to do anything else. There's no need to take that so internally to the point where you're hurt. Things happen. We can read everything, you know, as just our information or from different perspectives. But we've got too much of this going on where ladies are just choosing the wrong dude because of, and let me back up. There is DNA, okay? Inside of us is a genetic code to create better humans. We are pre-programmed to where when I see Alicia Keys, I'm like, oh, you know, let's go. But if I see somebody else that's not her and it's my genetic upgrade, then I won't choose that other person. Even if that other woman is a brain surgeon and is much more fun, you know, for my actual life, the DNA and strong attraction rules will say that we are connected and linked forever, because you've given me a flavor and a taste that is irresistible to me. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But we also got to understand that there was a reason why they had arranged marriages. It was because people realized if we just leave it to the DNA lust and the attraction of things, it might take forever to partner up and get with somebody. So, no, I don't want to encourage people to cheat. No, I don't want to encourage people to, you know, sleep around with each other. Not at all. You know, because you don't get with the person you're actually attracted to. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is the DNA isn't the only choice now. It's not the only choice. If that's the only choice you want, then do what your DNA does, which is, you know, excuse me, see that person, mate with that person, have children with that person, but understand that, like, what your DNA attraction is saying is not what your relationship needs are. So just because somebody's attractive to me doesn't mean they're going to take care of me. Like, it doesn't just gel. Like, it doesn't just work. And I think that's what we found out in a bad way with Ashley Madison and all these cheating sites and all these things, you know, nowadays is like, we really do want each other. We really do have a strong passion and drive to each other, desire to one another. That's not wrong. But now you're caught because you're like, wait, I'm in a relationship, or I'm married, or I'm this, or I'm that. And it doesn't satisfy those physical urges, that passion and desire. And nobody sits and talks to us about this. Like, we go from being a child to having a Ferrari of hormones, emotions, testosterone, and nobody ever explains to us that at some point you might get stuck on some ice. It might be driving too fast, or sometimes a stop sign might not clearly be marked, or sometimes there might be, you know, a rush hour, and instead of getting on the interstate, and panicking, you know, you wait a minute for traffic to, you know, get past what, those two blocks, and then you don't end up making a bad decision and going down a commercial road and getting stuck at every red light, making you 20 minutes late. Like, just calm yourself, just chill. So that's what I'm saying is, you know, the DNA thing is real. The DNA thing is wonderful and amazing. It is beautiful. That's a good thing. We want good looking people. We want good looking offering. That's fine. What I'm saying is, if we're adults and we agree that we want to be professional, that we're going to make clear expectations, right? And you know, like, make our expectations clear. You know, our expectations and experience, right? Be clear about your expectations and be clear about your experiences in life. We're going to be mature about these things. And then be mature about how we explain what we expect. And be mature about what we've been through and what hurts us and harms us from the beginning. When we're doing that, it makes that person so much more attractive to us, because we realize we get to go through life with more of a friendship type, with more of a healthy relationship than, you know, somebody that just, I don't know, was just good in the bedroom, you know? Like I said, I'm not knocking it. It's a great part of life, but that shouldn't be the only thing that drives us to one another. So, yeah, if we're all choosing wrong, how is that good? And it almost makes me think, like, now we don't get a chance to just, you know, grow with one another and build and alone, I'm saying alone, take the time to do our necessary growth. Like, everyone has to use the restroom, everyone has to shower and clean themselves and hygiene. But if you're not doing that well, the hygiene piece, just your body, the dentist, the masseuse, the chiropractor, your bathing and hygiene, your hair, nails, fitness, right? Food, diet. When you're not doing those things, it boils over into other categories. It does. And so what you ended up looking at is somebody else better than you. They're not better than you. They've just taken care of specific things a little bit better. And instead of being jealous or acting like, oh, that's just not something I'm capable of, we can take time to sit down and talk to these people. Like, they're real people that will talk to us and be like, hey, I know that you're really good with accounting. I know that you're really good with relationships and people. Like, hey, can you clue me in? Like, what am I doing wrong? You know, you gotta fall on your own sword. So instead of cycling the same equation, hoping for more, triple, 10 times the money, you take the time to actually build yourself on your own. And I really see that we're not building on our own. And we go to church, we go to school, we go to all these different areas that should enrich us, should improve us, but we haven't taken the time to make a clear strategy or get with a life coach or a therapist or shrink or psychologist to minimize things in our own lives, in our own minds, that are keeping us from succeeding the best. So yeah, then you get out there in a relationship and you're still trying to serve people the broken pieces of you. That's not what I want to do. So yeah, the bad dating choices from PTSD is so much more than just the dating portion. It's us. And like say, for example, you want to date a football player that has CTE and he's blacking out or forgetting things or, you know, drinking or having these problems. Because that movie Concussion that Will Smith starred in, it was kind of like a big wake-up call. Because we keep seeing these men with these raging emotions and erratic behavior, not realizing parts of their brain and the way it's connected have been damaged. It's not sitting the way it needs to sit. So if your brain isn't sitting the right way, how will your decisions move the right way? I don't know. It's just kind of scary. So I'm dealing with it in my own personal life. You know, when you're dealing with somebody that especially has been in the league, right? And you're trying to make it as plain as possible that things aren't right. And they just destroy everything, right? Relationship with family, relationship with their own wife, kids, all that. It's hard to make it even more abundantly clear that, hey, something's not right here. We should probably change some things, right? It's not the dating and the relationships. It's the person. So the bad relationship, PTSD, is the person you relate with. It's not from the relationship. Oh, this person, all they wanted to do was cheat. Oh, this person, all they wanted to do was lie. Oh, this person, all they wanted to do was sleep. Oh, this person, all they wanted to do, you know, was spend my money. Well, why is it that you keep running into these people? What is it in your interview process that you're not seeing? And could you at least get like a unanimous decision from people saying, you know, on a high level, a doctor says this is a great person to date. A dentist says this is a great person to date. An accountant says this is a great person to date. Then you run into a pastor, a rabbi, a religious figure, or you know, a school teacher that says this is a great person to date. When did you get signed off that a community of quality says this is a good person to date? The other hard part is associating yourself with that community of quality. That community of quality will start to burn up and cook up that bad decisions from PTSD, because those bad decisions from PTSD, they stay with you until you share them with people, until you expose them with people. And we just go on, like, I'm in my 40s now, and I'm just now seeing that people that I care about and I love didn't have that quality community around them to say, no, that's bad. Please stop doing this. If I really care about you and I'm listening to you, I gotta say no. I gotta say stop, please. That's not gonna serve you. And I watch groups of friends, and the hardest one was ladies, because ladies care so much. They sit around in sweatpants, eat ice cream, and cry about a boyfriend, and they bond with you and all this. And you know, the girls go do mani-pedis, go get their hair done, go get new wigs, you know, whatever ladies do, so that they can look good the next time they step out. And they practice their makeups and all this. But then when I see them struggling and not coming eye to eye because they bump heads on things, I'm like, man, that's hard, man. It's just like, you think as a dude, when you see that, you're just like, dang, man, they're kind of struggling to get it together too. Because dudes, we don't have it all. I mean, we may be more linear in our thinking, but we seldomly go to the doctor. We rarely are connected to our emotional self and can comprehend what that has done to us, you know, our emotional intelligence. And then we turn 40 and 50 and we just wild out because we were never connected to our inner selves, that child, teen, and adult. We never had a quality bridge between the child, teen, and adult, because nobody explained this to us. And they say you're an adult and you gotta do this and do that, but like, nobody's even explaining the bridges to psychologically from childhood to teen, from teen to adult. So you get 40, 50 years old and you're still doing things that you did when you were a child. You're still doing things that you did when you were a teen, and they don't serve you. They're not helping you at all. But your spending habits, your health and hygiene, the way you relate to people, I mean, has that improved? Are those things really improving in your life? You know?
well, this is just the world. This is who I am. I'm a man, blah, blah, blah. If somebody wanted to change me, they should have stopped me. Yeah, you stopped me. I mean, nobody pours hot lava down your throat. You would stop that. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody looks at food in a burning oven and says, well, if nobody stops me, I'm just going to do it. No, you stop you. Be responsible. Be respectful. Or maybe what you're saying is part of you is broken to the part where your reasoning isn't, you know, your reasoning isn't telling you it's time to stop. Yeah, so, I mean, we know something is wrong. We know something is wrong, but how in the world could it be everybody else, right? I think that's the thing I love about what I'm seeing on NBA teams. You know, now in these NBA teams, these coaches keep getting different jobs and the teams keep going the same exact way. These players keep going to different teams and the lineups and the game strategy and all that goes the exact same way. Or an assistant goes, you know what I'm saying? Like, wait a second, that's a pattern where we keep wanting to blame somebody else. Oh, I didn't have enough help or this, that, and the third. And it's just not working, right? It's just not working. Have you looked at you, right? If you walk in a room and you're like, man, everybody's breath stinking here. And that happens 30 days in a row. Everybody's breath stinks everywhere you go. Man, this whole town stink. So we need to stop, y'all. Are we building a quality community? Are we afraid of what they might say? Are we afraid that the people on the level we're trying to get to might tell us secretly, you haven't done your homework, or you haven't done enough, or you're not still enough. You're too fidgety. You're too anxious. And to really get to this next level, it's going to require you to sacrifice something. Maybe that anxious, fidgety version of yourself that you've been holding on to for so long doesn't work. Or that stubborn, nasty, horns out, hook 'em horns version of you, or, you know, boiling blood version of you that will, you know, snap somebody's neck on sight. Maybe you gotta sacrifice that. Has it really gotten you everything that you want? Or do you keep rewriting the story to make sure you're the hero? And rewriting the story to make sure you're the main victim? And rewriting the story to make sure you're the only one that's right and correct? Now, to an extent, I do gotta say, no one is gonna look out for you and love you and be consistent with you as much as you. So if you want to say, I'm the greatest, I'm the best, I'm that one, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As long as it doesn't come supremely from ego. If you really believe that you're the best, you really believe that you're the best, you are going to have to work for that. You are going to get tested on that. If you really, really believe that, if you're the best, if you're better, if you're the smartest, you're going to be tested in that. But if it just so happens that you get knocked down or hurt or whatever, that is the moment of humility that you needed to realize that at that moment, you weren't the best. You weren't the toughest. You weren't the brightest. You weren't the smartest. But guess what? Now, from that moment, you get to grow and learn how to advance and become iPhone 20 or whatever, iPhone 21. Now you've done your customer service and you found out what it is that's right or wrong and figured out how to, you know, detail the weaknesses, the lag, the whatever. Now you get the upgrade. We can upgrade. That's what I'm really trying to get at is we can upgrade. We don't have to have bad relationship PTSD and carry the same wounded person that we are into each relationship. We can go home and address that wound. Get your peroxide out, get your Neosporin out, get your Band-Aid. We can heal that up, heal us, right? What's the sense of fighting in 87 wars if you never take time home to go home and eat, bathe, retool, restock, reload? and find out how you can be more efficient. So, I mean, this I attended a workforce management function where they were talking about, you know, soldiers with PTSD in the workplace and how men and women are just throwing themselves back in there without addressing what it is that's hurting them or harming them. And just like hypocrites, we say, yeah, come work for us, and then don't hire them. We say, yeah, come work for us, and then don't return the phone call when they call us. So on our part, I'm saying this is a community thing, a quality community thing. We support our troops. We love our troops. We don't really, when we're not offering programs to help them and explain clearly that they can go get a college education or they can work here or work there. We're not laying it out clear and clean. You got these great, amazing men and women that might be a little bit shook because some of them go through some really traumatic things over there. They might be a little bit shook, but we should have room in our lives and our schedules and from HR compliance and all that. We should have room for them to help them grow as well. And as I'm looking at the employee resource groups, the ERGs, we have like the groups of many feathers to honor our indigenous and Native American people. We have like pride to honor, the pride community. We have like women in business. We have the Black professionals. We have SOMOS to highlight, you know, all those people that we love from, you know, La Familia that have the Hispanic descent and give great, I mean, great historic document. I mean, you just sit in one meeting and it's just like, oh my God, like what a beautiful people. And so for me to be Black and be able to have a chance to get around a quality group of Black professionals or, you know, SOMOS to be invited, these are quality communities. You do have to submit yourself to them and step up to them and go and visit them. You have to do that. That's not something they're going to do for you. And it's not to tell you that you're wrong or whatever, but when the quality groups are out there, you have to go to them. If that's what you really want, is quality. Veterans, there's veterans employee resource groups out there. And I've seen them in the banking industry, in the railroad industry, like Union Pacific, and I think BNSF. So it's like in the banking industries and so on. They have these employee resource groups where you can go and meet with people and bond with people that may be in your same culture, in your same community, or in one that maybe you need to branch out to learn and grow a little bit more. So that's all I'm saying is the quality communities are out there so that you can take the time to group yourself and couple yourself with people that are maybe like-minded, some maybe a little bit older and have done more and accomplished more, and they maybe bit the bullet and realize, I can't do all this by myself, or I just don't like the results I'm getting. And they work on them, right? They work on them, which also your work self goes a long ways. Like, you know, people might just know you through LinkedIn, you know, before they meet you in real life. And then, hey, what if somebody meets you on LinkedIn and they become somebody that you can date? That's a whole different ballgame. Like somebody meeting you on LinkedIn and you guys getting to work together, and because they know your accolades and where you worked and probably how you stress based on where you work, they know you, have a little bit more insight, you know, into you. So let's clean up ourselves. Let's look in the mirror and make a to-do list on how we can improve us first before we go out and make more bad dating decisions. As men, I don't care who you're dating, as men that date men or men that date women, why would you want to go out there and be a monster? Yes, you can give yourself a license to be a monster. You can. But why go create more bad versions of yourself? Get back in the time machine, go look in the mirror, and start working on what it is you don't like about yourself. This is free work. This is free shadow work that you can work on at any time. And women, whoever you're dating, women, if you're dating a man, you're dating a woman. Stop dating out of your hurt and pain. Stop dating out of your damage. Date up, marry up,
try something new, try something different. You know, I'm not going to say who you've been dating, but go try something different. What does it look like if you date a better person on paper before you get to meet them? What does that look like? And perhaps maybe you need to change something about you too, to get that person. So I love you all. I hope you love me back. Happy holidays. And I hope everything is going well. Hope you had a wonderful holiday season and time with family. That's the most important thing. Yes. I love you all. Hope you love me back. You can love, like, and share these messages. And thank you for listening, you all. I really appreciate it. I'll see you soon.